In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst. This morning's gospel passage picks up immediately after the gospel we recently read, where Jesus miraculously fed the 5,000 men along with the women and children from five loaves and from two fish. Jesus begins in this passage by instructing his disciples to get into the boat and return back across the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is a large freshwater lake about 13 miles long and about 8 miles wide, through which flows the Jordan River. This is the site of many of our Lord's miracles and a place where many of the disciples were previously fishermen and had worked. The lake was well known to them as they had traversed it by boat many times in their life. So after Jesus sends the disciples onto the water, he sent the crowds away so that he could go up to the mountain and pray alone. In reading this, it reminds me that every sentence in the Bible is there for a reason. Even sentences that seem to simply set the stage for the greater story have their own importance. In taking this action, the Lord is continuing to teach us how to pray. In the prayers the priest says quietly during matins, we read, "For we know not how to pray as we ought, unless thou, O Lord, by thy Holy Spirit, dost guide us." In giving us the Lord's Prayer, we are taught by Christ what to pray. In this action of going to the mountain alone, he shows us how to pray. St. Nikolai of Zicha speaks of four phases of prayer. The first, setting aside all worldly care. The second, lifting up our hearts and minds to God's presence. The third, presenting our soul in its nakedness to God. And finally, perceiving the darkness of the world so that we may allow the heavenly light to shine forth. Christ expresses this in the action of sending his crowd away and climbing the mountain and praying in a place of solitude and darkness. This example of how to prepare to meet God in prayer is reminiscent of the passage in the third book of Kings, where God tells Elias to go to the mountain because the Lord was about to pass by. And the passage reads, and many of you know this passage, "And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountain and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice." The actions that Christ takes teach us how to prepare for prayer by setting aside the cares and distraction of the world to seek his voice in silence. While Jesus is on the mountain, the disciples in the boat continue their journey across the lake when the storm kicks up all around them. Does this sound familiar? It should, because just about six chapters earlier in Matthew, we read about the storm that besought their boat when Jesus was with them, but was sleeping. In that moment, they cried out to wake the Lord with the words, "Lord, save us, we perish." And of course, in this instance, Jesus immediately calms the seas. So now, just a few chapters later, the disciples, now without Jesus in the boat, are again put to the test. Perhaps this is another reminder for us that as we grow stronger in our faith will be tested to an even greater extent. Without Jesus in the boat, who will they call out to for salvation? The disciples failed to remember a very important fact, and in that lies the next lesson for us today. They forgot who it was that directed them to set off on the sea in the first place. How can they possibly be destroyed if they are doing what God instructs them? This is a great lesson for us today. How wonderful to know that we should not despair when we are on the path that God sets for us. Will there be difficulties from time to time? Certainly there will. For God does not always swoop in to save us at the first sign of trouble. In this gospel, he waited until the fourth watch of the night. So this is like the wee hours just before dawn, before rescuing the disciples. Does he do this to see if they have faith? Of course not, for he knows all things. But perhaps he does this so that we can see by our faithful actions that we do have faith, that they could see that they do have faith, that they could call on him. And the God who sends us on our path cares for us. The disciples forgot that even though Jesus wasn't on the boat, that he truly never left their side. And even out of sight, he could be called upon in time of trouble. And when they are in trouble, the Lord appears to them on the sea, walking on the waters towards them. This raised their fear level even higher, because they had no idea at that time that he had this power over the earth and the elements, and immediately feared it was some sort of spirit or perhaps the workings of Satan. But out of his compassion for them, knowing what they were thinking in their hearts, he immediately tells them that it is he and that they should be of good cheer. While we all will suffer for our faith from time to time, or even with our faith from time to time, we must be of good cheer that our Lord, who has power over the earth and whose voice was the voice that through which all creation was made, and from whose voice the demons flee, that he hears our prayers for help. So the final lesson of this gospel involves Christ's encounter with Peter on the water. Remember that at this time Peter is attempting to have faith, but is not yet as solid in his faith as he will eventually be. You can hear that in his words. He says, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come upon the water." In the same sentence, we see Peter's faith by the fact he addresses Jesus as Lord, and his doubt by the fact he says, "If it be thou." Our Lord understands that Peter's faith is weak, but that Peter is trying to strengthen his faith. This is similar to the prayer of the father of the sick child in Mark's gospel, who said, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Peter has faith strong enough to be willing to set out upon the tempestuous waters, and that faith is sufficient for him to stand upon the waters and walk towards Christ. However, this doesn't last very long, because he still has doubt, and it was easy for the waves and the wind to raise that doubt in his mind. Remember, this was a terribly tempestuous storm. It allowed him to take his focus off Christ, to allow fear to set in. And the result was he began to sink. This is very much like the work we have to do every day as Christians. We believe in God and his love for us. We try to hear his word in our lives, and we try to live it. We step out into the troubled waters in faith. But sometimes our faith is distracted by the challenges that befall us, and they pull our focus away from our Lord and into the chaos that surrounds us. But we can take comfort in knowing that when these fears enter our minds, that the Lord is ready to reach out his hand and to pull us to safety. In fact, our Lord expects us to remember this and draw faith from it. Hear his words to Peter, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" This statement provides us one last teaching as we are about to get out of the boat and walk across the waters of our life outside this church. The Lord is asking us to have faith to know that even in times of trouble, even when the odds are against us, even when we seem lost and about to sink, that God will not abandon us, that he will set upon us his path towards righteousness, that he is always with us. There are so many examples in the Bible from which we gain strength as we work to have this sort of faith in our own lives. Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son to God, but God stayed his hand. Jonah was in the belly of the great fish and did not worry about being digested, but instead prayed to God and was saved. When the three youths were cast into the furnace by King Nebuchadnezzar, the furnace so hot that the guards outside it were burned up, they walked around in the midst of the flames praying to God. Daniel was saved from voracious lions through his prayer. Job, covered with sores, having lost all his family and all his possessions, never doubted God and was restored abundantly. The reality is that God has saved us and continues to save us every day. Even though we may not see his hand at work in our lives every moment. Today we are asked to gain strength from the scriptures which show God has never forsaken those who walk in the way he has made for us. We are asked to use this knowledge and the teachings of today's gospel to strengthen our faith and to weaken our doubt. We are asked that as we go forward and encounter new challenges, that instead of waiting for the challenge to pass and then thanking God, that we must glorify God in the midst of the danger and call upon his holy name and walk in faith and love through any tribulation that may come our way with the knowledge that God is always with us and will never abandon us. As St. Paul writes to the Romans, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.